Well, this morning we will be in Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2. I'm probably a strange bird, if you don't already know that, but I like to look at the credits after the movie. Sarah wants to get out of there. Max, wait, I want to see the names of the cast and different names of different people. Anybody else like to see the credits? I know some of you watch the credits just to let the crowds get out of the way. But what's really interesting to me is the credits of older movies. Because then you see, oh, so-and-so, because they're famous now, but they weren't famous back when that movie was made. And you see the credits, oh, yeah, I thought that was so-and-so. And, oh, yeah, okay. Or you see somebody, but you just can't remember the names. Who the cast is. We find ourselves thinking about the cast and story. Some of you like to read books. You kind of identify with the cast in the book, the storyline. But let me ask you this. Who was the cast in the story of Jesus' birth? You name the names of the people who were involved. Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, the wise men. Part of the story also is John the Baptist. Or the story is also his parents, Zacharias and Elizabeth. But you know who usually gets overlooked in this whole story? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gets overlooked because we believe it's the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But we know that the Father sent the angels, and we know that Jesus was born, so that's the Father and the Son. But the one we usually overlook in the story is the Holy Spirit. And yet, he is the one whom Jesus sent when Jesus was resurrected and he ascended into heaven 40 days after he resurrected from the grave. He sent the Holy Spirit. And in fact, when the disciples were a little shaken because Jesus said, I'm leaving. What do you mean you're leaving? He says, yeah, I have to go so that I can send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Now, we know that there's a Trinity because at the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was 30, we heard the voice of the Father. We saw Jesus in the water, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a... But in the Christmas story, the cast is often overlooked. The Holy Spirit is present. Sometimes in a movie on the cast, you'll see uncredited. Basically, they made an appearance, but they didn't have any credit there. And a lot of times, we fail to give the Holy Spirit credit for the work he's doing. For it is the Holy Spirit who brings conviction of sin in our lives. It is the Holy Spirit that convicts us of righteousness, that there is righteousness, and we can have that righteousness in Christ. It also convicts us that there is a coming judgment. Back in fifth grade, I've shared this before, but back in fifth grade, I went to Catholic school, and Sister Mary Aloysius, to get us behaving, would always quote the part of the Apostles' Creed that would say that Jesus was seated at the right hand of the Father, and from there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. Well, that would straighten me up for a little while. This child that is born is not only God, but he's also Satan. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit to take the sacrifice, to take the work that Christ did to forgive us of our sins, to apply it in our heart. And so the Holy Spirit is very important to you and I in our life. And we want to kind of just track the story of the Holy Spirit in the first two chapters of the book of Luke. And so you're going to follow with me. But let me tell you about Luke. How many of you have been reading the chapter a day? The book of Luke. All right, and we'll finish on the 24th, Christmas Eve, because the book of Luke has 24 chapters. We want to encourage you to continue reading your Bible as the new year comes. Some of us are going to take the challenge of reading one chapter of the book of Acts through the month of January, so we can see the work of the Holy Spirit in the church. But we're also going to encourage you to keep reading every single day what God's Word says, so we can get to be familiar with it, we get to know what it says, because a lot of times we hear people say, well, the Bible says, but we have little to no clue. We've never read it. So I want to encourage you. And so Luke is writing to his friend Theophilus, and he wrote in the book of Luke, and he says the very beginning of the chapter, in verse 1 of chapter 1 of the book of Luke, inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, in other words, others have journaled, others have blogged about this, others have written stories but I'm trying to give you an accurate account. See, Luke was a physician. He was a doctor. And Luke had a very good grasp on detail. And so in Luke, you'll see some details that you miss in some of the other gospels. Because there's four gospels, and they're all written with the idea of lifting the name of Jesus, kind of giving his story and what he came to do. But Luke tends to be a little bit more detailed in his description. And so he says here, inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as they were handed down to us by those from the beginning, were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. It seemed fitting to me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you in consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the exact truth about the things that you have been taught. Luke is saying, look, I'm writing, get it right. I've carefully investigated something that journalists don't do a lot of today. Not all journalists, but a lot of the scare ones, they don't do a lot of investigative work. Here, Luke investigated. Now, Luke wasn't one of the apostles, and he got the story straight from Peter. And so he writes with detail. It's important to see the detail of the Holy Spirit. So in your notes, on the back of the bulletin, there's some notes there you could take if you'd like. And the fill-in is this. Point number one, the work of the Holy Spirit ushers in the Savior and his ministry. It is the work of the Holy Spirit that brings Jesus on the scene. Because the Bible tells us that out of a virgin, a child will be born. Now, how do you do that? That's not possible. That's not biology. That's not anything you and I are familiar with. But yet, verse 35, jump down to verse 35 with me. The angel answered her, talking to Mary. The angel Gabriel was talking to Mary and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the Holy Spirit shall be called the Son. So Jesus himself was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He, in a miraculous way, he united Mary's egg, and a child was born. And the Holy Spirit, again, let me say something else about the Holy Spirit. He's content to work behind the scenes. He's content to work quietly. He brings about the Savior to fulfill the promises. See, because this has been promised several hundred years before. He would be born of a virgin. He'd be born in Bethlehem. All these things were prophesied by the prophets and were given. Now, let me encourage you to look with me. Book of Matthew. Hold your place there in Luke and look Matthew, two books before. Luke, then it's Mark, and then it's Matthew. Verse 18. Matthew and Luke are the only two of the four Gospels that's right about the work of the birth of Christ. He says here in verse 18, now the birth of Jesus was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed, engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Scandalous, right? And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sin. Joseph awoke, and he Mary as his bride. Turn back with me to Luke chapter 1, verse 38. This is before Mary had spoken to Joseph. Joseph had committed himself to taking her based on what the angel told him in faith. But in verse 38, he says, and Mary said, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now catch this. She trusted God that God would be with her even if Joseph wasn't. She trusted that God would sustain her even through the ridicule. She trusted God would provide for her even if her family disowned her. She trusted that God would accept her even if her family turned their back on her. She trusted that God would love her in spite of Because her faith is in what the angels gave her as words from God, that this is the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, friends, the Holy Spirit works in your life. And he will cause things to happen. You'll take a stand. You'll say no to certain things. And you'll be ridiculed. You might even be disowned from your family. I know when I started coming to a Protestant church or a Christian church, my mom was not happy. Not happy. But I had to follow God. People in other countries, other cultures, they disown you. But Mary was committed because of the work of the Holy Spirit, because she recognized this is the work of God, and that God the Holy Spirit ushered in this baby. And this baby came on the scene, and people were like, what's happening? Who is this? Why? And all the questions. Friends, you know this baby, Jesus, came to save people from their sins. The second thing we see here is the work of the Holy Spirit prepares the way for the Savior and his ministry. Look at verse 41. When Elizabeth heard, now Mary was excited, and she went to go visit her cousin Elizabeth, who also was pregnant, who was already an older woman, who was beyond the childbearing ages, but God provided her with a child. Verse 41, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in the womb, and Elizabeth was filled with who? The Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit works at opening the door for the Lord's ministry. Now, why was it important? Because the baby would become John the Baptist, who was one who came to proclaim the coming of the Lord. And it was John the Baptist who would eventually baptize this Jesus. And he would say, behold the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. I am unworthy to even untie his shoe, and yet, privileged to baptize. Down to verse 67. John the Baptist was born. His father, Zacharias, was unable to speak until he said, they asked him, what name shall he have? He said, John. Repeat the story on that. Verse 67, and his father Zacharias was what? Filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed be the God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people. See, the whole story here and the whole story from Genesis is waiting on the coming of the Savior, Jesus. And as Jesus would be born, take away our sins. He would be the worthy Lamb of God. Sacrifice. So my sins would be paid for. That you and I could be a part of his forever family. Look at verse 72. He came to show mercy toward our fathers and to remember the holy covenant. Verse 74, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. This is Zacharias praising God because of his son, the birth of his son, John. Because he saw all the pieces of the puzzle coming into play. They came and started to come together to provide a picture for him to see. Now, you and I are not looking forward in faith. You and I are looking back with confidence because of the history and the story the Bible gives of who this Jesus was. Look at verse 77. To give his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. That was the ministry. That is the reason why Jesus came. That his people, that we would hear the gospel. We would believe in faith that if I confess my sins, that he is faithful and righteous to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And that because of that, I will be adopted into God's forever family. Verse 78, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way. Turn with me to chapter 3 of the book of Luke. Give you a little glimpse into the life of John the Baptist. Verse 2, in the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the district around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, this is speaking of John, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path.
the work of the John the Baptist under the guidance of the Holy Spirit as he blessed Zacharias and Elizabeth with a baby, that John the Baptist would now come to preach the gospel to prepare the hearts of the men and women for the coming of the Savior. Friends, that's what we do. That's why we share the gospel. That's why we preach. That's why we do crazy things. At least the world thinks we're crazy. How could you believe in a creation that there's a God who spoke and in 6 days everything that was made? Well, that doesn't take as much faith to believe that a Big Bang came out of nowhere and everything we have in our universe just came out of nowhere. I don't know. My faith isn't... you need a lot of faith to believe that. The reality is, friend, the work of the Holy Spirit is preparing the way, and has prepared the way all these years. And we read through the book of Acts, and we will soon, maybe on Wednesday night, study the book of Acts. See the Holy Spirit's work in and through the church. Now the third point. The work of the Holy Spirit validates the Savior and his ministry. Come back to Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Now Jesus has already been born. They come now to bring him into the temple, to present him to the Lord. And it says in verse 25, and there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. See the key work of the Holy Spirit. We're gonna tie this together for ourselves at the end. Verse 26, and it has been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, or the Messiah, or the Savior. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law. Then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Now catch this. Validation to the parents. And his parents and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. Why? Because Simeon got the word from God and he shared it with the parents. And he prayed it over and he spoke it over this baby Jesus. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel and for a sign to be opposed. A sword will pierce even your own soul. Crucifixion, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. The Holy Spirit proclaims Jesus' work in Simeon. Again, look with me, chapter 3 of the book of Luke, verse 21. I know we're doing a lot of flipping today. I know we don't normally do that, but follow with me. Verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized, and while he was praying, the heaven opened up, the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came out of heaven, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. Friends, it is obvious that the birth, and I pray that the next time you read through the book of Luke and the book of Matthew, you see the hand of the Holy Spirit. You will definitely see the hand of this Holy Spirit at work in the book of Acts. And I pray that you would read that and you would be encouraged. Now, here's the question I have for you. We've seen the work of the Holy Spirit, how he was working behind the scenes, as it were, orchestrating this whole event, that he brought Jesus onto the scene. He prepared the parents. He prepared John the Baptist to proclaim, to go before him, to make straight paths for him. We see how he was baptized into ministry by John the Baptist. We see all this work. Now, the Holy Spirit hasn't stopped his work. He is working even in us. And his ministry is even more important today because we as are the witness to the world. We participants were responding to his leading. And each lifted up the name and work of Jesus. Let me say this. Zacharias and Elizabeth rejoiced. Joseph and Mary surrendered. Simeon proclaimed. How do you and I respond to the Holy Spirit? What are you and I doing in the midst of the work of the Holy Spirit? What is it that He has called you and I to do? How is it that we are engaged with the work of the Holy Spirit? It's more than just attending a meeting. It's more than just showing up at the building. That he prays for us even when we can't even utter words. He bears witness. He is God Himself. He tells us that we are the temples. Zacharias and Elizabeth rejoice. Joseph and Mary surrender. Simeon proclaim. John preached. Jesus saved. See, when we engage in the work, when we engage God in salvation, we have a response. We have a ministry to fulfill. And friends, one of the validations that we are children of God is to see a transformed life. And a transformed life leads to serving God and serving others. If you're not serving God, if you're not serving others, then how do you know you're saved? This is the work of the Holy Spirit. But the Bible does tell us that we can grieve the Holy Spirit when we're disobedient. The Bible tells us that we can. But the Bible also tells us, whom the Lord loves, He will discipline. So my question to you, friends, today, have you asked Christ to forgive you of your sins? What proof or what validation do we see in your life? How is the Holy Spirit working in your life? What is the Holy Spirit calling you to do? That is part of what our Experiencing God ministry, our Bible study, has been about. It's about God working in us and preparing us for a mission. That mission includes preparing us. So just think about it. What is it? How is it that you're responding to the work, to the Word of God and to the Holy Spirit's
need? God perfectly created our atmosphere, you and I, to be able to breathe. You and I to perfectly be able to live, grow crops, raise cattle and chickens and other animals to eat. God did not create us to live underwater. You and I to live underwater, we need oxygen. Now, my wife is a scuba diver. For her to hang out at around 100 feet, she's not certified to go any deeper. I know she follows her certification very well. So she's at 100 feet, but she can't exist without the oxygen tanks that are functioning correctly. Now, this is not our world. This is not our home. Our home is in heaven. But what God has enabled us to be able to live on this earth is the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that you and I need, and you and I must breathe with, that we might live for His glory. Now, you can live on this earth, but you're not bringing glory to God. If you and I plan to be in His forever family and to believe to be with Him in His forever home, you and I need the work of the Holy Spirit in us. So just as a diver needs an oxygen tank, or astronauts need the oxygen in order to survive in outer space, you and I, as believers, children of God, need the Holy Spirit. And so when we have the Holy Spirit, you know, if you're losing oxygen and you're not getting enough oxygen, you start to, things don't go well with you. That's when you get the oxygen and you get the right perspective and you start thinking. See, we've been deprived of the spiritual aspect. If you're not a believer, you've been deprived yourself of the spiritual perspective. See that God is God and God is cares for you and that God loves you. And sometimes when we as believers fall into sin or turn our backs on God, we lose that perspective. Oh, God doesn't care. God, that's this and God, that. And, you know, we go through those things. And I think we've all been there. When we are breathing the oxygen of the Holy Spirit, you and I will have a God perspective that will help us face the trials and struggles of the day. Coming to Christ doesn't mean your problems are done with. Coming to Christ means you have a solution that helps you walk through them. God sustains you. Today, if you're a child of God, praise God. Breathing with the Holy Spirit. or you're trying to breathe on your own. If you breathe with the Holy Spirit, you try breathing on your own, you're going to see it. Please, that's you. Confess it. But maybe this morning you haven't received Christ. You need to say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Change my life. I want to be a part of you forever. Please. Father, today we come. Come rejoicing. The baby that was born 2,000 years ago. The baby that brought salvation. The baby that grew and took my place. Today we also celebrate Elijah. Thank you for the life given to Tim and Shelby. I think of Laura's grandbaby. We think of the other babies. Father, they didn't come to save us from our sins. They came to remind us of our responsibility to share the gospel, raise them up. Help us to do so. Help us to lift up the families. Help us to encourage them and build them up. You might be glorified through our lives. For that we thank you and celebrate. In Jesus' precious name. God bless you all.